Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Alden. My guest today is smiling because I'm going to get her name wrong. I'm going to do my best. Maddalena Pasqua di Biscelli.
That's perfect. Perfect.
And the winery is called Musella.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the winery?
It's in Verona. It's in the east part of Verona.
Okay, and the wines that you make, the main ones?
The main one is Valpolicella, Amarone, Ripasso. The local wines, actually.
Okay, how big? How many hectares?
37.
Okay, and it's family owned?
It's family owned.
And in which generation are you?
Actually, I'm the first, or better, the third. Depends. The project started with my father in 1995.
What's his name?
Emilio. So my father was already involved in the wine business, but differently. So he wanted to be a wine grower.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 23 years old, sort of, he asked me to join him in this adventure. And I said, I don't know if I'm interested. And then he said, come to see the place, of course. And when I arrived there, I said, this is my life, this is my future, I love this place. And so I started immediately. I was studying contemporary history, so really not wine stuff. But Musella is such an amazing place. It's an oasis, it's a sort of national park.
So what makes it special then? Whereabouts is it? Is it east of Verona, west of Verona?
East of Verona, exactly east. And is forest, hills, little lakes, paradise full of animals, and all the vineyards are surrounded by forest. And so
how big is the estate in total, and how much
500 hectares?
So it's huge.
Yeah, to be Italian in Italy is quite big. Yes.
And how much is vineyard
in total? Mine is 37, then there are other in the flat area, but I don't know that much because I try to stay quite far from there because I do biodynamic. And I really cry when I see they spray something chemical because it's such a pity.
But you don't do that on your part, though. On your bit, it's all biodynamic, yeah?
Yes, absolutely.
So how long have you been biodynamic for?
Yeah, 2009, so it's almost 10 years now.
And what changes did you see between before being biodynamic and going biodynamic in the wine and the vines? What were the changes that you saw and tasted?
The vineyards is quite evident. Now I have no vineyards anymore. It's a garden. It's a garden full of colored flowers, different flowers and vegetables. A lot of insects going up and down.
So you basically think it is still a vineyard, but you've got plants growing between the rows.
Yes,
you've got a lot of wildlife.
And now I'm planting trees in the middle because I think it's very important to be back on the trees in the middle of the vineyards.
Why?
Because there is a communication. And so the wine is, for example, Valpolicella is characterized being very close to the cherry taste. And since the beginning of the history, cherry trees were around the vineyards or they used the trees to put the vines on.
Just climb up, promiscuous culture.
Yeah. And simply this. And also, when you are working into the vineyards, because we mostly work by hand now, to have a target, okay, I'll get to the tree and then I can relax a bit under the shade. And it's different, even psychologically make you happy. And more, you're the birds going there. And
you can hear them singing. And
yeah, it's completely different story.
See, do you provide water for the birds if they get thirsty?
Not anymore, because they don't need it. The soil changed in such an amazing place. Wait, sorry.
Because a lot of people say, hang on, you know, they can't see you today, but, you know, look at you, you're not like hippie, but you've got kind of long hair. And the way you talk about the trees with it, oh my God, she's off with the fairies, this lady, she's completely crazy. But so many biodynamic producers I've spoken to, you're sort of another one, love putting trees in their vineyard, and conventional growers say, what are you doing? You know, you're going to get birds, they're going to eat your grapes. But you're going to tell us there's a reason why they don't eat the grapes when you go biodynamic and you put all these trees. Why is that? What are they replacing the water with or the grapes with? What are they eating in the soil to keep?
Everything. There is so many things to eat and to have.
So worms.
Worms, insects, vegetables. We have now a lot of vegetables coming out by themselves.
Do you mean wild ones?
Yes, because at the beginning I put a lot of green manure.
Cover crops?
Yeah, to
feed the soil.
Yeah, feed the soil, plus to aerate the soil. What is very important to me is air in the soil, not the food. Because we consider now our soil everything like a human being, so it's sort of our sun.
So they can breathe.
The most important thing for you, what, is air. You can stay weeks without food, days without water, but just a few seconds without air. So that's the first things we have to provide with. Doing this, the soil became absolutely more reactive and less is more humid, full of humus, and is able to keep more the water.
So when it rains, the water can infiltrate very slowly, you don't get any erosion, and when it's hot, because there's residual water in the subsoil, the vines can find what they want when they want it.
Yeah, exactly. And so, giving no water anymore, you also reduce the fungus problem. I'm now treating the vines, not everywhere, but in some spots, just with the cow milk, raw cow milk.
On your vines?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you're using that for oidio, no?
Oidio and mildew, and peronospora.
So basically it sounds a bit crazy.
It is, but if you think...
Using milk to treat the two main threats, the three main threats to vines are botrytis, or grey rot, and then oidium, which is powdery mildew, and peronospora, which is downy mildew. And what we're hearing is that milk-based products are actually very effective against these without using things like copper or sulfur, yeah?
Yeah, because the idea, the concept is important. We don't want to kill anything anymore. And so even the copper, even if it's a lighter way, is not going into the vine, is something is killing and is heavy and is still metal. So I'm still experimenting, but this is make me very happy and a lot of fun. And when you pass through and you smell this yogurt...
But do you not have any moments of real kind of stress? People say, hang on, what happens in a really difficult year, a difficult vintage? Surely your vineyard is just going to be annihilated by fungal disease and things like that.
This is the funniest part. In 2014, when we had a very difficult vintage...
Very wet.
Yeah, we had less problem than the chemical vineyards. And so my father was finally very happy, because my only stress is I'm going a bit faster than the other, and so to convince them that we are doing the right thing, and they have to take from their mind everything they had in the past, because I know it's difficult. This is why for me it's easier, because I studied contemporary history and not agriculture or enology, and so I have not these informations there.
Yeah, you didn't get, in inverted commas, everybody indoctrinated. There's only one way to grow wine, it's you need for the weeds, you have herbicide, for pests, you have pesticide, and for fungal diseases, you have fungicide. So you kind of avoided that.
Yeah.
And you have a complete, that's why you have an open mind, to have a completely different view. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, how much do you get into the kind of lunar cycles? Are you really into that, or do you...
Not that much, or better. I do it a lot with liquids, so filtration, eventually we filter a couple of wines, and a bottling, or when we move the wines...
When you rack them.
Yeah. Yeah, I watch the moon, the phases.
What about atmospheric pressure? Pressione atmosferica. Do you follow that?
Sense.
Well, just like if it's a cloudy day or a sunny day.
We try to do in a sunny day, mm-hmm. always. But according with that, the rest in the vineyards is more difficult, because I do it in my vegetable garden, but for the vineyards it's too big to follow that, and honestly I can't, unfortunately.
What are your main markets? Your main markets for your wine?
At the moment is Scandinavia. It's both Sweden and Norway. They're fantastic clients.
Do they buy because you're bio, or do they buy because they like the wine, or they just buy?
They're both. Yeah. They're both, and now they are buying more and more because it's biodynamic. So I was just there to ask them to stop, because
to
I need
down.
Yeah. I wanted to sell everywhere else also. Scandinavia, rest of Europe, Canada.
Do you have any animals like cows or horses?
Yes. I have a chicken going around in the vineyard.
One chicken?
No, maybe.
Chicken. Poor little chicken all on her
Polly,
own.
Polly, galline. And then I have donkeys. A cow is not mine at the moment. I'm renting a cow. I have a cow. I have a guy having a lot of cows close to me, and he's the guy who's giving me the milk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the milk,
and, yeah.
Yeah,
and so...
Oh, so it's totally, it's just direct from the cow?
Si.
Oh, fantastic.
I go in the night, and I leave one night, if I have time, to separate the cream from the latticello, you see?
Yeah, just the
that is milk. Full of bacteria, and then I spray in 10 liters per hectare.
So do you dilute that at all? Is it just pure, you just a very fine spray with the milk, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like the copper, like the same spray.
So how does it work in protecting the vines from downy mildew, peronospora? How does it actually work, the milk? Is it just something...
It works that you feel the environment of of life.
So,
and so you leave less space to the fungus.
Yeah.
It's a sort of stay away, because this is my spot and I'm stronger. And so you can do it when you are really, really in balance with that. So you have to have a very alive situation. You can't spray milk after...
A pesticide, yeah.
Yeah.
So but what you're saying is that the microbes in the milk, they because they're a living organism, they stick to the leaf and they colonize it and they don't allow the bad guys like the Peronospora to arrive.
Thank you for explaining.
So what happens in conventional viticulture is you actually, with a conventional fungicide, you actually sterilize the leaves. That's the idea. They go, hey, listen, I'm a pesticide, I'm going to sterilize the leaf. And nature hates a vacuum. So as soon as you sterilise that leaf, and don't forget you're only spraying part of the leaf canopy, so you always miss the bit at the top where there are already the fungus disease organisms. So when it rains the next time, they dribble down, they occupy, they totally colonise your vine, and then you're going to be chasing your tail for the rest of the season. So this approach, using milk, these microorganisms, actually the beneficial ones from the milk, actually stick to the leaf. And so when it rains, some of them get lost, but most of them stay there. So it's a far more efficient way of protecting your vine without spraying something that is potentially poisonous or whatever. I'm getting into polemics about that. But, so it's a very logical, it seems absolutely bonkers, this system.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you think about it, I'm saying all the things that you should be saying, but you're not creating any air miles. You're going to your local neighbour who has a cow. There's no technology there. You're getting the milk with your bare hands. There's no technology there. You're walking it back to your vineyard. No technology there. You're spraying it on the vine without any plastic packaging or plastic containers you've got to throw away or dispose of or end up in the sea getting some silly old, some poor defenceless whale. And you're spraying something that's no air miles, and it's very, very all joined up and very healthy, and it works. That's the point.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. In fact, I was a little bit worried at the beginning because, okay, I'm the witch and always the crazy one, and so, and I had to convince everybody that it was working, and so I was a little bit sweating. But then worked, and the grapes were safer than others because even for the rot, no rot in all the vineyard. I mean, I want to extend a bit to this. I'm just doing in a couple of vineyards that are close to me, and it's working.
Do you have any bees?
Yes, I have. The story with the bees is a bit complicated because unfortunately I'm allergic. And so I went to the hospital a couple of times.
Okay.
And so now I delegate that. And there's a guy is having his own bees on my property. But yes, okay. Of course.
So you get anaphylactic shock, do you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty dangerous.
Yes, so my mother asked me, please, the bees, no.
Yeah, I'm sure. But another thing about why bees are important, apart from the fact that
fundamental.
They're fundamental actually to our existence. The reason that they're important, apart from the fact that pollination and all the rest of it, is over winter, in their tummies, they incubate wild yeast. So if you really want to start making wines with a wild yeast fermentation, bees are a great team to have around.
It's a great team.
So what we're kind of talking about is having a really joined up, it's biodiversity, isn't it?
Yeah, so important, so important.
So, I mean, your family think that, you know, you've got long hair and you think, oh, you know, another hippie kind of, you know, head in the clouds.
Yeah.
But your feet are very firmly on the ground. But how do you deal with your family when they are very sceptical about what you're doing? Because obviously, if it's a family business,
yes, exactly,
and you lose grapes, and they think, hang on, we're losing money, we can't pay the bank and all the rest of it.
So exactly, you got the point. Yeah, it was very difficult. It took a lot of time, 10 years. And on the other hand, I'm the daughter. And so I can talk with my father in some way. And he let me a couple of hectares free to experiment my theory. I didn't know anything about biodynamic at the time, so when I discovered it, I said, yes, allora, there is something I can do properly, and I start to study. So I always say that in some sense it was better that I waited so long, because I arrived there very prepared, and then I did it properly. I had the help of also a consultant at the beginning, more for my father than for me, but it worked. We didn't do any mistake, and we didn't lose any single grape. The wine is better. My father is extra happy now. And
so he can see that in the analysis when the grapes come in. He can see like things like acid, pH ratios, and extractability of tannin and all that.
Everything is better.
Pip color, pips are browner, I guess.
And taste is so crunchy, so fruity, so cherry taste, and it's so alive. I always joke and say, look at this wine, it's jumping out of the glass. It wants to run, and to see the satisfaction of my father now is a great gift for me, because it was hard at the beginning. I said, it was sort of, it was open, that was some problem, because it, you know, to confirm his theory. But on the other hand, he was a great man, because even if he was quite nervous, he shut up, he went away, you know, he understood that it was important. And so, big respect, great respect for my father. I don't think it's very easy to let the kids go, even if when you are not so convinced about that.
Is he here today?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, he's not. I don't know where he is, but it's a shame he's not here. Do you speak Italian?
Yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's okay. All right, Maddalena. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Maddalena, that's a very long name. Pasqua di Bisceglie.
No, my Maddalena is fine.
It's Maddalena, okay. Let's just be by the lab and say, hey, yeah. Where's Manny? So I just want to say thanks to Maddalena.
Thank you.
For telling us all about Mosella and the chain of biodiversity you've established right from the tiniest infinitesimal little microorganism that's come out of a cow's udder that ends up on the leaf to all the bacteria and fungi and yeast. Always people say, what's wine made from? It's made from yeast, fungi and bacteria. That's what it's made from. So without those guys, you can't make wine. So and it's great that you've got that cycle of life
that you've created. Yeah, I mean, so many things to do because we didn't talk about preparation, the 500, the menorah, the
all the biodynamic, all the sorcery and all the rest of it that goes into biodynamics.
Yeah, exactly.
But in a nutshell, a bit about biodynamics, you're trying to create a self-sustained living organism, which is self-sufficiency, which is what you've got with your animals and all your friends' animals. And you're saying that plants are shaped by substance, solid stuff, nutrients, mineral elements, etc., and by forces that pull vines up to the sun and then they pull vines down to the earth with gravity. If you think about that, a nice taut vine that's got a strong tummy, very fit, like it's worked out, and it's going to be stronger to resist pests and diseases. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. You spoke very well. Anyway, I've kind of spoken a bit too much, but I loved your way of explaining the cycle of life.
Okay, good.
It's great. I mean, you do look kind of hippie-ish. I mean, we can't see that on the radio,
I'm not a hippie.
Yeah, I know. We saw you. If we look outside the studio, people go, okay, which one's the biodynamic one? It's like, okay. It's got to be you. It's not like, we're going to lose a bet, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's all about being coherent, and you most certainly have been. So thanks very much for coming in, Maddalena.
Thank you.
And anybody that's interested in biodynamics and you want to try a really good biodynamic wine, get a bottle of Mosella.
Wow, thank you.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.